I made some kind of insensitive jokes about a baby the other day, so now I'm not allowed to make any more baby jokes.
You're in a safe space here. You can make fun of babies on this podcast.
Okay, well...
They're dumb and silly and have soft heads.
Yeah, they're easy. They're easy to break and also very flammable.
Oh, no. There's a story there I don't know if I could unpack on this podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to a very special episode of Who Is My Doctor?
A very special who is indeed.
Do you know why this is a special episode, Cassie? This is our 69th episode. I didn't plan it this way, but I do find it very amusing that our 69th episode is what is the series six mid finale. There was a mid season finale. This was the first season to ever do this, where it took a break for about a month, but in the middle of the season. And I do think they did it narratively, because this episode ends with sort of some big revelations that you would normally only have for a finale almost.
Now, was there a reason in...
I think there was...
Is there a reason, like, in real life, in the world, that they took the break? Was there some kind of...
I think it was production reasons. I don't think... It wasn't like it was... There wasn't, like, a pandemic or an illness or anything like that. I think
Well,
it was
no,
just...
not like a pandemic or illness, but, like, a big football game going on. Or...
I don't think so. I'm going entirely off of memory here. And this
going
was...
based off of vibes.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, it was just that they wanted to. They had wanted to, like... make the show a little bit bigger, and so
they were being dramatic. You can say that.
Yeah, they wanted to have a little bit of a gap there to, like, leave some mystery.
They were,
like,
being cunty. You can say that.
I mean, it also let them start the show a little earlier, but still have some, like, bigger production episodes. So I don't, as far as I know, there wasn't any real world situation as to why they did it, because they wanted to.
Copy.
If there is a real reason, I'll put it here. So I looked it up, and Stephen Moffat just really wanted to have a little break here for the story. He thought this was a nice, like, cliffhanger to leave people on, and so that was all it was. It was just a narrative thing.
Wow, what a reason.
Or not. This is Series 6, Episode 7, A Good Man Goes to War.
You're a good man goes to war. Thank
Charlie
you.
Charlie goes to war, Brown. What sort of revelations might you be expecting from this mid-season finale? Like, what would...
Eye patch lady.
Okay.
That's it.
Because we did have quite the shocking end of the last episode, where it was...
Yeah, me having... I'll have you know, I am getting better about my prenatal trauma, because I did not have any scary dreams after you watched that. So growth has happened. I am evolving as a person.
Yeah, when last we left off, Amy had just found out that she'd been a flesh creature on the TARDIS this whole season so far, and is instead very pregnant and giving birth in front of Eye Patch Lady,
who's telling her to breathe with her, like, mouth making a perfect ugh.
Really, like, weirdly kissy lips for something so violent.
Push.
Yeah.
And she's in one of those Japanese pod hotels.
What do you think might be happening with Amy's baby? A little baby pond. In fact, actually,
they're stuck in a pod hotel.
why don't we make that? The first question of the Cassie Professor.
Hey, how about not?
What do you think Eye Patch Lady wants with little baby pond?
You're so funny. Next question.
What do you think?
Oh, you weren't kidding.
I wasn't kidding. No. What do you think Eye Patch Lady wants with little baby pond?
Better lipstick.
Better lipstick. They're going to turn the baby into lipstick.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't even know why. I don't fully understand why Amy would be important in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And she's a companion of the doctor.
I get that. But I am still unclear. I didn't do any critical thinking as to why Amy is important, other than the doctor happened upon Amy. He didn't pick her out of a crowd and say, I want you.
Yeah.
He just kind of happens upon people and says, you'd make a good companion. Come with me. It's not like a it's not like a Donna Noble situation where she just kind of keeps.
Where Donna hunted for the doctor as opposed
to. Well, because like she crossed paths with the doctor and then went out and like searched for him.
Yeah.
And was important because of her future with the doctor and then her future with the doctor again and then her future with the doctor. The future, I don't know about. But as far as Amy Pond, I don't remember if there was a particular reason why she is important mm-hmm. to the doctor. Not important to the doctor, but important in his whole silly willy timey-wimey bullshit. So I truly, confidently can say I don't know. Now, if you want me to give you a cute little reason, just...
Yeah, make a silly little guess.
I don't know. She wants the baby.
She just wants the baby.
She don't want the baby.
She can't have one, so she wants one.
Yeah, she want a human baby.
I'm going to put you in my oven.
Yeah, human veal.
Burn, baby, burn.
Infant Inferno. It's bad. It's a bad joke.
And baby berry pie.
Well, because like that's my thought. Very basic level. Why would somebody want a baby? Because they need one for
because she's a Rumpelstiltskin
for she's made a
Hansel
deal.
And Gretel witch.
Yeah, she either has a very particular craving for baby flesh,
okay,
or there is something that she has done with Amy, and because she has interacted with the doctor, she is better than most people.
Okay. I could take that as an answer.
I don't know how to simplify that, though.
There's something unique.
Because there's something unique about Amy.
Because of her interactions with the doctor. Okay, I'll take that answer for sure. I think that's a broad enough statement, but it definitely also feels it's broad enough that it could mean several things, but specific enough that it can't mean anything.
Well,
so I'll definitely take that answer.
Especially since I have been reading the book that you got me for my birthday, Silver Under Night. Fall,
mm-hmm.
Night, shade, night, time, night, fall.
Night, knights of the round table.
Good night.
I think it's Silver Under Nightfall.
Yeah, Silver Under Nightfall. And in it, the titular character is not liked in the community because his mother may or may not have been a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
This is as if Renesmee, which is really funny because his name is Remy, but Renesmee... LOL. I don't know if that was intentional. Rin. He's disliked in the community because his mother may or may not have been a vampire, and his father is specifically a reaper, a vampire hunter. And so there is a part of me that's like, maybe there is almost a similar quality in that, where because Amy has interacted with the doctor and she happened to be pregnant, if Scary Eye Patch Lady didn't know about Rory, she assumes, this kid is Time Lord flesh.
She thinks that the baby is the doctor's child.
Perhaps. That's what I mean by, like, Amy is unique because of the doctor.
Okay.
In that sort of, like, that's what I'm thinking. If I'm extra right, I think I get extra points. But I'm telling you now, that's where my head is at, because you've now given me too much time to overthink.
Can I tell you kind of a fun secret?
What?
You accidentally guessed the truth to that question several episodes ago. So you're already going to get the point for that question. But I'll tell you why when we get there.
Okay.
You guess the answer behind the answer.
Can you tell me when I said smart?
It was last season. I don't remember the exact episode.
Okay, then. Psh.
Yeah.
Because either you say it was last episode, and I went, I made 6 bullet points
episode. And then for the second question of the Cassie Profassi today, this episode features the return of A. Santarin. This gentleman's name is Strax. You have not met Strax before, but he is currently being punished by his people, as opposed to being a proud warrior. Because his people are proud soldiers, what do you think the punishment for a Santarin is?
Oh my God, normalcy. Strax has to be boring.
He has to go like just run a store
in the corner. He just has to stand in the corner.
Yeah, the idea of the Santarins is that they're a warrior people whose entire goal is to die in battle. And he's like, well, your punishment is you have to go manage a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, his punishment is you are on 6 months unemployment.
They just house arrest, twiddling their thumbs. I wish to die. Let me die.
He like accidentally slices his thumb while he's chopping up mushrooms for dinner. And then starts battling the mushrooms.
That's very funny. I like that. All right. So Cassie's for Fassies for this episode are that Eye Patch Lady wants Amy's baby because it's something, because she's got something. Something's up with Amy specifically.
Amy's special.
And that the Santarin's punishment is to just live a normal life. We will find out together as we watch the mid-season finale, A Good Man Goes to War, on this 69th episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Bow, 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 bow. Again.
This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Fight Club. Remember, the first rule of Fight Club is...
Stop! No! Not like this! No! Fuck! Back to the episode. Could I please not get hit in the next one? Ah!
And we are back from A Good Man Goes to War.
Demons run when a good man goes to war.
Night falls and darkness rises when a good man goes to war. I do actually really like that poem.
I do. I say it in jest a little bit, but because I was like, Demons Run is a stupid name for a ship. And then they explained it. And I went, Demons Run is a very cool name for a ship. I'm a hater until proven incorrect.
Yeah, everything's stupid until you get the lore. Just to come up front, what'd you think of the episode here, Cassie? How did you?
I think I'm correct. Amy is unique. And also, Strax was very normal. Everybody in my family is a nurse. It's very normal to me.
You're going to get 2 points anyway, because yes, you are correct with the first one. But also, I don't know if you remember this, a long time ago, you had asked why River Song and Amy Pond both had water-themed names. Obviously, you didn't, like, immediately sniff out what the implication was.
No, but I'm, like, 50% psychic.
Yeah,
psychic on my dad's side.
You were certainly close enough that I'm going to give you a bonus point for that one. So go ahead and give yourself 2 points for this episode. Yeah, for sure. People on Twitter were like, whoa, how did Cassie clock that? There's a part of it that's like, well, it's really obvious when you're thinking about those two terms specifically. But yeah, for sure. It certainly was not something people had snuffed out.
Is that why you don't let me go on the Twitter?
It's not that I don't let you go on the Twitter. You have no interest in Twitter.
No, I don't. It's like news for nerds.
But sometimes I do talk about spoilers on there and stuff, so it might be good to... It is generally good that you don't go on there.
Yeah, I stay away from there. I'm technically in charge of the Instagram. Hey, yeah. Check out our Instagram. There's nothing on it.
But moreover, what did you think? How did you feel about this being the mid-season finale? This not really tying things up, but certainly giving some revelations.
Not tying things up. I do like that they went very Star Wars with it.
Yeah, you would clock that quite a bit. There was a lot of very...
I mean, it's just in the way that it was shot. And it's something that I have never been very good at articulating specifics, mm-hmm. but I'm very good at picking up vibes.
Yeah, there was a lot of aesthetics.
And it was, because especially it was like, we have a literal army inhabiting a floating army base.
Yeah, the army base is all like polished chrome and neon lights, not neon lights, but...
But like blue red light, like very high intensity lights with these hooded figures, not emperors.
Yeah, the hooded figures around with their red glowing swords. Yeah,
and then they freaking whip out their sparkle sticks.
Yeah, this is one of those, I think, really big episodes a lot of people remember. I expect this to be one that people tune in for, because it's a lot happens. Like, a lot happens. Like, there's a part of it where I often forget this is a single episode because it feels like it's a two-parter.
It does. I was also very surprised that this wasn't like a full, I say a full hour. I'm looking at the time card on it now and it's 49 minutes. So yeah. In TV language, it is an hour-long special.
Yeah, I mean, some episodes are like 43, 42. But yeah, this one is a little bit longer. But still, it just feels like it feels like so much happens.
It's packed.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like
it's good. Because a lot of it, too, is we're not with the exception of the Headless Monks.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not introducing anything new.
Yeah, there's been a few things where it's... Some of them are reskins of stuff we've already seen, like Madame Vastra is a Silurian, so we've seen her, but we've seen them, but we have not seen her specifically until now. We don't see her maid slash lesbian partner before. Strax is a Sontaran. We have seen Sontarans, but we haven't seen a nurse Sontaran before.
We have seen Mr. Moldovar, though, yeah?
Yes, we have seen Dorian Moldovar.
I remember seeing him going, I like him. He's horrible.
Yes.
He's blue hedonism bot. We love him.
The last time we saw him, Riversong had poisoned him while making a deal. I do like that he's got this like smugness about him in his scene where he's like, oh, you think the doctor's not amassing an army? Many people here owe him a debt. And then
I would hate to be one of his debtors.
And then he turns around and the thing shows up and he's like, no, not me, not me. Why would you need me? I'm old. I'm fat. I'm blue.
You. For context, he's wearing a blue t-shirt right now.
And I'm also sad inside.
And he's so old. But very skinny.
One thing I really like about this story is that it gives the Doctor the idea that there's all these stories that we just haven't seen. Which is a part of it is true, because there's comics and audio dramas and books and all these things.
Yeah.
But to really like go into the show and be like, there's all these adventures the Doctor has had that weren't aired on television that still have the consequences of people owe the Doctor a debt.
Yeah.
But also this like idea of the stories that we don't get to see are also the fuel for this episode, that, you know, there's this collection of different religions that have come together specifically with the goal of killing the Doctor. They view themselves as having a war on the Doctor and he doesn't even know. Which I feel like for some shows that would feel cheap. That would feel like, oh, you're giving us a bunch of drama for stuff we don't see. But for Doctor Who, it kind of works.
Well, because they make indications that they are constantly going to this place and that. And the stories that we happen to see are the ones where things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would still really love to have a fucking beach episode.
No, Cassie, because when they go to the beach, he gets shot.
But, like, I'm always torn whenever you have episodes like this where you do see, like, returning faces.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it can feel very cheap or very, like, not cash grabby. But, like, remember when they would do the crossover episodes? So it was like, That's So Sweet, Life of Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
I fucking loved that. So I was like, this makes so much sense.
The time Urkel showed up on Full House.
I'm really young. I don't know what those shows are.
You don't know what those words are. Oh, I'm sorry. But, did I do that?
Oh my God, that's really funny. Did you make that up? Because I'm so young. And you're so old.
And you're so blue.
What? But it can feel really cheap and like very, I'm using the term cash grabby, but I can't think of the actual word I want to use.
Well, I would say that it feels insular, especially for a show that talks about all of time and space. There's a part of it where when you bring back old faces, there's a part where it's like, man, the universe seems kind of small.
Yes, but it also makes it feel very rich.
Yeah.
Like the only time that I was like, this feels kind of silly, is when the pirate dad and his son jumped out of the elevator.
See, I wasn't the part that bothered me. The part that bothered me was the World War II fighter pilots for some reason.
Oh, I love that.
Danny Boy to Doctor. Danny Boy to Doctor.
No, no, very Night at the Museum. Love that shit.
Yes, there's a part of it. That was the part where I'm like, why bring them? You don't have anybody else that can fly because they're not supposed to fly in space.
Well, yeah, but neither, like, spaceships aren't control. Are they? This is going to sound ignorant. Are spaceships controlled from the inside of the ship? Is it from the ground? Like, they're doing a lot of the, like...
You mean, like, Earth spaceships?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're controlled inside the...
But it's both, right?
There's an element of both, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question. But... I like the World War II fighter pilot jets.
Yes.
Flying around in space, beating up these, like, TIE fighters.
Yeah, blowing up a communications array is specifically what they were hired
That's
to do.
That's so funny. They had lasers, dude. Considering how involved in World War II the Doctor is, clearly with, spoiler alert, the end of the episodes, like, the Doctor will return in... Let's kill Hitler.
you were so like excited to see that.
Well, because like I'm gonna jump ahead quite a bit. I have very mixed feelings about the revelation in this episode. Mm-hmm. But getting that little gift of seeing what the next episode is called makes me so happy.
Just called Let's Kill Hitler.
Because I love that I like that most people agree Hitler. Bad news.
We should kill him.
We should. I just because I was a little punk kid for a while, I was not a Hitler apologist, but I was like, he was just misunderstood. He wanted to be an artist and nobody gave him a chance, which there is still a part of me that's like, are people born wicked or is wickedness thrust upon them?
I mean, you being rejected for art doesn't give you the right to commit a genocide.
No, and that's the part. That's the part, too. He was a very good salesperson.
Yeah.
And was very good at selling his own bullshit.
Yeah.
And anyways, we don't have to make this into a Hitler conversation yet.
Yeah, that'll be next next episode of this season. But let's talk a little bit about that River Song revelation. Mm-hmm. The idea that River Song is Melody Pond.
Now, here's the thing. I loved... Lorna. Mm-hmm. Lorna Bucket. That's a D&D character. My name's Lorna Bucket.
Lorna Bucket from the Gamma Forest.
Yeah, you met me running in the forest. I know that's not what she sounded like. That's just my interpretation. That's my audition.
When you say Lorna Bucket, that's the trigger phrase for that voice.
Lorna Bucket. Yeah. It's the name Lorna. Well, because like also there was a character in Orange is the New Black named Lorna.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lorna sounded more like...
Oh, okay.
You know.
So you've already got a predisposed voice Lorna, in your head.
Well, no. Lorna, for her, was like Margot Robbie.
Oh.
So I'm talking to her. Not talking to you. I'm talking to her with her nails. But Lorna Bucket is just... That's really fun to say. Mm-hmm. Anyways. I liked her. I liked that she... joined the military so that way she could one day meet the Doctor again.
Yeah, and I like that on her downtime, she chooses to walk over and do some needlepoint work.
Yeah, she makes Amy a prayer leaf with the name of her daughter
in her language.
That is such a thoughtful, sweet present. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And also a weirdly specific setup for a plot twist.
No, for me as a crafter, I was like, that's so fucking sweet. That she is taking this time out of her busy schedule, mm-hmm. hunting for the Doctor to make this fellow woman a little treat, a little something that she can hold on to for her daughter, because Lorna doesn't know if her daughter is going to be taken away from her or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prayer leaf ensures, or the thought is that if you like have this and you keep this close, then your daughter will return home to you. What? That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
This might just be me being like a squishy woman every so often, but like,
yeah, it's a very sweet gesture, and it's something very character specific.
Oh my God, it's like, just so
not just anybody would do that.
No,
yeah. And it tells you a lot about her because she is part of an army that's hunting the Doctor. So there is a part of it where it tells you that she is someone different from the rest of these people.
Yeah, she's not like the other cleric.
Yeah, she's not like the thin, fat, gay, married Anglican Marines.
Hey, you know what? What are your names? We don't need them.
There's a part of me that's like, I feel like there's two minds of me. There's one where it's like, man, you kind of reduce like one of your first gay couples. I shouldn't, obviously not your first gay characters, but there's not that many gay characters on the show. But so you kind of reduce them to a joke. But on the other hand, it's a pretty good joke.
That joke was written by a gay man, I guarantee, or like finessed by a gay man.
I would assume that Stephen Moffat wrote it and then ran it by a gay friend. Like, is this funny? And they went, yes.
Well, because like, as a fellow queer, yes. If you walked into the store that I'm working in and identified me as, oh, you're the bisexual. Yep.
You'd be like, the.
Well, that's like any time. The number of freaking TikToks and shit that I get sent daily of my friends that are like, never trust a barista without, or never trust a straight barista. If you go in and you see a non-binary he, she, they, them with colored hair and tattoos and several piercings, you know you're going to get a good cup of coffee. I get those sent to me daily because I am a she, they, colorful hair, bisexual barista.
Yeah, we keep dancing away from the point here. But how do you feel about the twist with River Song being
I
Melody
like
Pond?
Their battle cry was just yes.
You're talking about the Anglican Marines again.
Yes.
Do you want to yell that a little louder? In fairness, they also at one point do go hoorah.
So they're American.
A little bit. They certainly seem to be American coded. But then they're also partnered up with the headless monks.
This is the day he finds out who I really am. I'm looking at my notes. Yeah.
Yeah. The headless monks who at first they'd be like, oh, it's a metaphor. They believe the position of faith is in the heart. So they don't listen to the doubt in their head. No, it turns out they legitimately just guillotine themselves.
Yeah. And then they twist their neck skin like they're a bread bag.
Just a what do you use for your hair? A little hair tie.
Scrunchie.
They have a little scrunchie to pull it all together. It's like a little bag of a man.
If you had a scrunchie for a head, what scrunchie would you be? I'll go first. I would choose one of my Jingle Bell ones from Christmas. would hear when I'm coming.
I think I would just pick something simple and thin. That way everyone could really appreciate the
the
proper twist in where my neck used to be.
Beautiful.
That way they could really look at me and be like, that looks like a garbage bag of a man. Yeah,
that's the joke there. You wouldn't actually have an elastic like twist tie. You would have those straps that come out of garbage bags tying your neck closed.
Yeah, there's
whoa, Zach was a garbage person.
Yeah, there's a part of me that likes that. I liked almost the metaphor version more than I liked the real version. But there's also a part of me that's like, when they're really headless, that's some D&D ass bullshit right there.
It's very Whovian to make them legitimately headless.
Yeah, people just think it's a metaphor because they're not allowed to see, but now that they're allowed to, they're like, So anyway,
we're gonna continue dancing around it. What if the Doctor was the Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, when the Doctor first reveals himself, he pulls off a hood to be like,
not a phantom, not a trickster.
Not a phantom, not a trickster. Yeah, he introduces himself and then the lights shut off and he disappears and then you just hear his voice echo through the building.
Yeah, what if he was the Phantom of the Opera?
I'm not a phantom. I'm not a trickster. I want you to sing for me. Matt Smith would make a fun.
That's
phantom.
What I'm saying, because Matt Smith also has very like.
I just don't know that he could sing.
I mean, we know he can dance.
Talking about the scene from Morbius.
You know I am. I'm always thinking about that scene from Morbius.
It's Morbin time.
But no, he has a very like Michael Crawford quality about him. So I think he could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
not even Matt Smith as the Phantom of the Opera, the Doctor as the Phantom of the Opera. just TARDIS under the Paris Opera House.
That would be a fun like twist on that story, that they, cause, especially because they keep doing Universal Monster stories. Like every Doctor gets in their own Universal Monster story.
They haven't had a Phantom yet.
They have not had a Phantom yet. I think that would be a fun little. I mean, again, I don't think they're doing it on purpose. They just happen to have done it that way. But it would be fun if they did do a Phantom.
Dear writers of Doctor Who, what I want for Christmas is an Inshootigatwa episode of Doctor Who where he fights the Phantom of the Opera. He has to dress up in cute clothes and a cape. Cape is very important to me. Scratch that. Put him in the masquerade scene. Love, Kasishima.
Yeah, it's...
Could you imagine, though, in like the Phantom's red... Like when he comes out during masquerade and he has the like big pantaloons and the like big hat, but it's all like this fiery red.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine Chudy in that? Oh my God.
I would feel so bad them having to cover up part of his face to do a phantom mask.
No. Be okay. Because no, he wouldn't have the mask on. For him, he would have it off. Half of his butt would be covered in the mask.
So in this one, we meet Madame Vastra, who is a Silurian living in Victorian era London.
Yeah, we really went all over the map, didn't we?
We did indeed.
Because I said Demon's Run. It's like 220,000 years ago. London, 1880. 4037 AD. Those are the only dates I wrote down.
Yeah, 1888 is the year that they go into. It is Madame Vastra, who is a Silurian living as a noblewoman in Victorian era London, alongside her maid slash lover Jenny.
Hot.
I had a feeling you would like them as a pair. One of my favorite moments is when Vastra says something akin to "Mammals all look the same to me," and Jenny's like, "Excuse you." And Vastra's response is, "Oh, I'm sorry. Was I being insensitive again? I don't know why you put up with me." And then she has to turn around and lash her 6-foot long tongue at somebody. And Jenny just has a look of like, "That's why."
For those of you at home, Zach was looking at me very bashful, like he had a little secret.
Just something very good about the way Jenny.
Awesome.
The actress for Jenny plays that moment very well. Because there's a version of that joke that just feels kind of crude. But because they don't actually like say it out loud, they just let Jenny's actress do it.
They already had the gay man joke, so they can't put in another, we can't put in a very on the nose lesbian joke. But those who get it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part where it's like Moffat's really playing a little like dancing real close to the line there, but he does it very well. They're both very funny jokes, so it's hard to be mad at him. I do think maybe it goes a little too far with Strax, where Strax has been punished to be a nurse.
I love that.
Which, yeah, such a perfect idea for Santarins. And you know, there's parts of it where they don't make fun of him being a nurse. I mean, there is part of it, but they make fun of it in like the hyper masculine idea of a nurse, not in the he's a nurse. He's doing a girl's job. There's none of those really until it gets to my genes have been sliced for all nursing duties. I create vast amounts of lactic fluid. And I'm like, that's
me. I love that. That's so alien and creepy.
Yeah, but there's also part of that might be a bridge too far where you're like, I have 8 nipples. I'm like a cat. And I'm like,
no, I love that. Keep it in.
You know, I guess to each their own.
It's freaky.
I do like that every time he heals anyone, anytime he departs from them, he basically says, "I hope to meet you on the field of combat where I will kill you."
It's the most you D&D character decision. Yeah.
Strax is a very like me coded NPC. One of my favorite little bits that they have in it, though, was when the human is asking Strax who came like. About why he's a nurse, and he's like, "Yes, it's a punishment that I must endure. It's the greatest indignity a Santarin can endure." And then he goes, "Who came up with that one?" And then you hear the TARDIS, and I'm like, "Oh, that's very funny."
That's just a good idea all around.
Yeah,
like I want more Strax. Like that's just such a that's so fucked.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he got shot.
I know. And he's not even happy about it.
He was like, I've been looking forward to dying in combat. It's not as nice as I thought it would be. I like that they, I do like that the doctor's version of an army is just like a dozen people he knows.
Is people, yeah. The doctor's idea of an army is just people who owe him a favor.
Yeah. The exception being that apparently Madame Vastra has just like a team of Silurians she can call.
Yeah.
Just like,
I thought they were in hibernation.
Well, this is a different group. Because the ones that we met, the ones that Miwet didn't wake up until 2020. That's right. They didn't wake up until the COVID pandemic. These ones were awake in the 1800s because the London Underground was being carved.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is a different group, just kind of a few miles away, basically, because it's Doctor Who and everything happens in the UK. But there is something very doctory about just being like, I don't need to get a whole army. I just need to call up a half dozen of my best friends.
I just need like six girls.
Girls trip. We're going to take a road trip and shoot some guys and get my baby back. Well, not my baby, my best friend's baby. She, this bitch lost her baby, but.
Yeah. So this girl I know lost her baby. Really sad. So upsetting. I owe her bestie a favor. So I need you guys to come with me. Like, I'll buy us dinner or something. Like, I'll get you a bottle of wine.
Put on some tunes.
But like, I need you to come with me because it is like game time. Like, you can kill as many people as you want. Like,
lash that little tongue of yours, Vastra.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of, like, if it was me, who would I invite into battle?
Mm-hmm. I do like that his first thought is, I should go get the lizard lady with samurai swords. She'd be useful.
Absolutely. Well, she's fucking the lizard people are fighters.
Yeah, they are. I also like the implication that she kills Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, that's
and no
awesome.
One finds him because she ate him. This is an episode where the doctor gets to be really intense. And I wonder if this is where these are the sort of scenes where Matt Smith really got into the idea of, I would like to play bad guys forever because they get to do this all the time.
They get to monologue.
Yeah. So he has this monologue telling the colonel how he wants to give the order to run away. So he gets known forever as Colonel Runaway, which I'm like, that's so fucked. That's like,
kids will stand outside of your house and make fun of you, run away.
Like, I want children to laugh at you for the rest of your life. What?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
But he also gets opposite moments where, for example, after Rory brings Amy a Melody and they're having a moment together, the doctor reveals he can speak baby.
I fucking love that.
I think that was the loudest I've ever heard you laugh watching this show was the moment the doctor says, I speak baby. I speak everything.
Because it's so stupid. It's like me saying, oh, yeah, I speak cat. And then I create a conversation with the cat just based off of like, oh, I kind of know like more or less what they want. And I'm fulfilling my fantasy of being able to talk to animals.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you a sort of a happy surprise here?
Does he speak baby again?
He speaks baby again.
Oh, my God. It's not a one and done. Thank you. Thank you.
There's always been a part of me that wants some other Time Lord to show up and be like, no one can speak baby. Anyone tells you they speak baby is a liar. But then it turned, but the doctor on more than one occasion speaks baby. Oh, I missed this. They did also try to recruit River Song, but they couldn't because River says that this was too important. That it was a day where she couldn't show up until later.
Yeah. And then River's greeting to Rory, she takes a moment and then like registers it.
Mm.
And gets very sad. And I went, this doesn't feel good. This feels bad. This feels bad for me.
Yeah, you had specifically wondered if something was going to happen to Rory.
I still am wondering if something's going to happen to Rory. Based off of the thumbnail for at least the next one. He's still in it.
Yep.
Mostly. Partially. I don't know. I'm just always worried something's going to happen to Rory. He's getting more of an arc that mm-hmm. I appreciate just because I feel like in the past when we've seen a companion and a companion's companion, like Mickey is a very good example where they're just kind of like
shuffled off.
They're shuffled off and then they get their arc. But then right when they like start getting cool is when they're like dismissed from the show.
Yeah, they do give Rory a cool moment, like at the very beginning when he comes in dressed as the Centurion. He's like talking to the Cybermen And he just has this moment of like, I have a question from me and a message from the doctor.
Yes.
He's like, where is my wife? And then they go, what is the message from the doctor? And all the ships that you could see in the window behind him explode.
Yeah, very Star Wars.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
Very Star Wars.
Yeah, it's very out of character for Rory in a way where you're like, oh.
He's not Rory in that moment, though. He's the last Centurion.
Yeah, which I know that she's not doing the I'm secretly in love. I'm in love with the doctor anymore. They're not doing that. I'm a little over even the like vague, like too cute by half allusions to it where like he's the last of his kind. He's very old, but he looks very young. This man is your father. He's the last Centurion. Oh, because they do that a couple of times where they do like
in this episode or in other episodes, because I actually kind of liked it in this one.
Well, in this episode, what I'm talking about is they at least on two occasions, they make a like too cute by half joke that the doctor is really Melody's father. Because at the beginning, she's like, this man is your father. He's the last Centurion. And later, after the doctor has handed over his little baby cot for Melody to sleep in, they go, can you tell us something about my baby? And he turns around and goes, it's mine. The cot. It's my cot. And I'm like, don't do that.
Well, I think that's just like getting the audience already like engaged for this, like, ha ha. Yeah. Because right after that moment is when he's going through Melody's like DNA file.
Yeah. And they find out that because she was born in the TARDIS.
Because she began in the TARDIS.
Because she was conceived in the TARDIS.
No, babies begin.
It was weird that they were like dancing around the word conceived, because it's not like a dirty word, but I guess the joke
conceived,
is
conceived.
The joke,
Zach,
is that the doctor gets really flustered around human sex, I guess, which does not feel that feels like a bridge too far for the doctor. I feel like the doctor would just be like totally cool with that. I don't know. Maybe
this version.
This version of him. I will say there's a little joke that Stephen Moffat made with that little bit. Because he was saying that the only time, the first time Rory and Amy were together in this version of reality, because it was Rory wasn't there at first, and then Rory disappeared, and then Rory was plastic, and now, but the first time they were really their real selves and they were together was on their wedding night. Do you remember what the episode is called on their wedding night?
No.
Let me show it to you real quick. It's called The Big Bang.
That's pretty good.
Because that's what they were doing. That's Stephen Moffat has gone on record saying that was a year-long setup for that punchline.
Amazing.
It was just that he really liked the pun of the Big Bang being Amy and Rory. That was I do like that joke. I think that's a fun, subtle joke that you're only really going to get if you're really thinking about it. But back to River Song when she's there. Apparently, it's River Song's birthday. And the doctor had just taken her ice skating and to see Stevie Wonder or listen to Stevie Wonder during, I think it was the 1800s.
Yeah.
And they were like, Stevie Wonder was playing in the 1800s. They're like, yeah, but you must never tell him. It's one of those like, huh, that's a joke that's riding real close to the line, but I still think it's funny.
Oh my God, I just got it.
It's because Stevie Wonder can't tell time.
It's because Stevie Wonder is too busy looking at his piano.
It's because Stevie Wonder has never been to the UK and doesn't know what it looks like right now.
Because he's wearing cool sunglasses.
I do like at one point when Madame Kavarian, which is like a great name. Madame Kavarian's a great name. That's the name of the eye patch lady.
Yeah.
I do like at one point she's like, we don't have to worry about you. You're a good man. You have too many rules. And the doctor turns around and goes, good men don't need rules. Today is not a good day to find out why I have so many. And I went, huh, that's a good point. Whew. And very well delivered and very well written. That's an excellent moment for the for especially this version of the doctor, who is generally like very silly and freewheeling, mm-hmm. to be like, Oh, he's got like an ethos that he thinks
I'm
about.
A threat. You're in danger. And also, are we going to just gloss over Goo Baby? Oh my God, that would break me.
When exactly did you pick up on that was the implication?
And she opened the panel.
Yeah.
And I went, oh no.
Opened the panel, but the way the baby is facing as opposed to towards Amy. Yeah, it's a really like subtle movement, and it's really trust the audience, and I appreciate that they do that, where it's, you know, I feel like a lesser show would want to make a point that would have to make like a point that Amy isn't seeing it this time. Amy would be like, what are you looking at? But this is just, but they just let it roll. And then she just implodes into goo, just a little pancake batter.
That would fucking destroy
this woman for a month now. This woman found out that she was not really on the TARDIS. She's really been pregnant for 9 months, kidnapped in a tube, gave birth after not realizing she was pregnant for 9 months, has her baby regularly taken away just for her to finally get it back and to turn into goo. This is the most traumatized woman ever. Ever.
I hate, well, in cinema, yes. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, especially it's so visceral. I don't know what it is about the sound effect that they put there, but something about
it's the
very
sound effect. It's also like, could you just imagine you're holding Monty? He's so sweet, so warm, so cuddly in your arms. And then all at once he actually turns to pizza dough.
And just
falls through your grasp because he's not like a solid form anymore. That would
I imagine it's also really terrifying for you as someone who owned a bird, because birds are so like fragile. So there's a part of you that's always that whenever you had one, whenever you had Rosie in your hand, there's a part of you that's just like, must be careful or she will turn into bird goo.
Well, there were also times where like I would specifically hold her like a little burrito and like my hand would be getting so hot because I'm holding this little bird. And I went, what if she melts?
What if I turn her into fried chicken?
What if she overheats and dies because I was holding her and loving her too much? Ugh.
One thing they do in this episode that I really like, that I wish they kind of would do more in regards to the TARDIS translation matrix, is that the TARDIS translates all languages except for the Time Lord language. But there are some words that don't translate, even among, you know, human languages. Like there are some words that either don't translate or they mean slightly different things. And in this one, they really play with that. They start doing it with that implication of the only water in the forest is the river. That is ultimately part of the twist. If you remember, that's one of the things that the TARDIS whispered to Rory when she was a person a couple episodes ago. So I do like that sort of like set that sort of sets up the idea of, if you don't have any other concept of what this can be, it just becomes the word. So their word for water is river. They don't have ponds or lakes or oceans or whatever. It's only river. But in this one, they also say that the word they have for doctor means healer and wise man to someone like you and me. But if you presume that the doctor is the first time that you're introduced to the word and he shows up and blows your planet up, he means something very different to you. And that word therefore means something very different to you. I do like the statement that the word doctor, it was gibberish when he took the name, but as he's gone throughout the galaxy, now it has meaning. There's a part of me that I really like that. I think it's a really fun idea.
But it has different meaning depending on what side you were on.
Yes, exactly.
And what side he was serving.
Yes. There's a very like history is written by the victors sort of mentality of it, where the people that won were like, oh, doctor is a mighty warrior, or doctor is a thing that we have to fight.
Doctor is a wise man. He's a healer.
Yeah. So I really like that idea. I think it's a really fun concept Doctor Who's one of the few shows that can really address that.
Yeah. Doctor Who or D&D.
Yeah. It's just one of those reasons why I love this show. Like there are so many things there are so many ideas that really only work in the conceit of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
For example, River Song being Amy and Rory's daughter.
Can't you read?
despite the actress being, I think, 20 years older than them at the time.
Timey-wimey.
Yeah, but it's one of those where, like, that's a fun concept. Like, the only time I've really seen anyone do that, play with the idea of, like, someone's child being older than them was, like, Interstellar. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's more examples, but those are the two, like, most popular ones I can think of. But let's, now that we've gotten to this point, I don't think I have any other things I wanted to talk about.
So I am really happy to see that River Song got a monologue, because mm-hmm. we're so used to seeing Matt Smith getting a monologue. Mm-hmm. He had like two this time. I don't know how I feel about the reveal being that. I do like how the reveal is made, mm-hmm. because we have sweet Lorna Bucket.
With her little
prayer leaf.
Yeah. I like that.
And they do the callback of, you know, they say, like, as she's dying, it, you know, oh, she was so brave. And the doctor says, well, they're always brave. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing back up that mentality of people dying for the doctor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like bringing up old wounds. There's just something about it, especially in a show like this. I do like when there is callbacks to doctor trauma.
Mm-hmm. It makes the show feel more cohesive when it's about all of the doctors and not just about the one we're watching.
But I truly, truly don't know how I feel about this, like, grand reveal. Mm-hmm. I do like that River Song does preface it at the very top of the episode that she will finally reveal who she is. Mm-hmm. So there is a part of me that's happy to finally have some, like, answers to questions. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of what I would want the answers to be otherwise, but I don't know that I absolutely am like, wow, I'm so pleased with this turnout. Mm-hmm. I love this.
It's gonna be one of those where it's like, it really depends on how it impacts the rest of the story. Sort of situations.
Well, because I was also like, the, correct me if I'm wrong, River Song's actor,
Alex Kingston.
Is she mixed?
Race?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I can look it up. Nope, she is English and German. She has some Jewish in her ancestry.
Ah.
But she's not, as far as I can tell, just doing a brief online skim here, she doesn't appear to be she doesn't appear to be non-European.
She's just trying to figure where the hair came from. But if she has some Jewish ancestry too, yeah. that would do it.
Yeah.
This will be something that I have to cook with, and mm-hmm. then I'll have a more, like, confirmed opinion mm-hmm. and thought at a later time. Mm-hmm. But for the right now, I'm in a very, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I do like the twist. I think for me, because it doesn't change a lot of, like, it doesn't change a lot of the status quo. And I think that might be why it's a little weird. The main thing it's going to change is the dynamics in the TARDIS. And also, like, the question now is, what happened to Melody between where the baby's taken off this ship? Because, yeah, it was a flesh baby, but there's a real one that Madame Kavarian has. She goes off and takes Melody and trains her to be this weapon against the doctor. What happens to her between that moment and this moment now with River Song, like, revealing who she is? Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, most of River Song's story is being told backwards. Mm-hmm. So technically speaking, we don't know when we're going to find out about that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's one of those twists where I think it's more about, it's not so much about, like, what happened, like, how does that change everything we know so far? It's how does that change things moving forward?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why you're feeling iffy about it, because you're like, you don't know how that's going to change the dynamic yet.
Yeah.
You know it has to. It has to have ramifications.
It will.
Yeah. And what those are, I can't tell you, because you're going to find those out.
I know. That's the whole point of this show that we do.
Is that I get to sit here and play the little
and
strings.
Be cheeky and be so silly.
I did like at the end of it, though, you got really excited because at the end you saw the words, "Let's kill Hitler."
It's the fact that it sounds more like a suggestion.
Yeah. What do you, you're going to get a side of fries, you're going to get a burger, and let's kill Hitler.
Yeah, well, what do we want to do after this? You know, like, I just revealed that I'm actually the daughter of these two people that I've been traveling with for the past, like, several weeks. Yeah, so I think after that, I think we're gonna go kill Hitler. Yeah, let's go kill Hitler. Like, that's the attitude with it, where you have this very big reveal. And then knowing that there is a month-long break after that with the Doctor Will Return in Let's Kill Hitler, mm-hmm. that's so funny. That might be the best piece of comedy I've ever seen.
It's up there with I Speak Baby.
Yes. What are you talking about? Bow ties are cool. How does the baby know what a bow tie is? It's a baby.
Some babies are smart. You don't know.
The baby, though, insinuating that the doctor's hair is a wig, also very funny.
Especially because, not to spoil too much, there are times throughout the show where it is. Because Matt Smith was also doing other work at the same time, and sometimes they needed him to be bald. Well, there's still plenty to find out about this change in dynamic. And, you know, we might find out about that on the next episode, but not on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
What do you mean? What are we doing?
Because this is where a mid-season finale was. They took a little break. We're also going to take a little break from modern Who. We're going to do a couple classic serials.
Hooray!
I have already picked some that I think you will like. So specifically, we're going to do the second and the sixth Doctors. I ran a poll a couple of months ago to see what people wanted next. And there were two really strong choices. There's the second Doctor, which I agreed with because the second Doctor is a huge influence on Matt Smith's Doctor. And then there was also people who wanted to see the sixth Doctor, which kind of surprises me because the sixth Doctor is often the least popular, but I do think he's gotten a bit of a like cultural reexamination, even in just the few years since I got into Doctor Who, which is very weird that it's been so long and he's gotten this like new appreciation.
Well, it's because people recognize the artistry in his clothes.
Well, it's very interesting. The sixth Doctor is not most people's like top Doctor, but if they like him, he is their top Doctor. It's a very strange like there are some people that really, really like six. Yeah. So we're going to do a second Doctor and a sixth Doctor. I don't know which order we'll do yet. I haven't fully decided that, but you'll find out.
Just roll the dice.
Yeah. But you guys will all find out on the next episode. Of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? That's right. We're going to do a few classic stories here between season 6A and 6B, so be sure you're subscribed to this podcast for that. And as a little present, when you subscribe, I'm going to come into your house while you're sleeping and just give you a little smooch on your forehead. Just a little mwah. You won't even know I was there. If you have criticisms about my smooching technique, you can let me know on Blue Sky Threads, Twitter, or Instagram at WimDPod. That's WIMDPOD. And if you have no complaints about my smooching technique, come find us on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a week early. You can even join our Big Daddy Daleks, Andrew Blewett and David Gansel, to get a shout out here in the outro. Thanks, guys. I guess next Tuesday really will be a Tuesday, huh? Get it? Because the second Doctor? Shut up. Tuesdays are Who's Days.